National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. This is Vicki and Lou Goldzer interviewing Flora M. Isaacs at her home on March 30th, 1987. Flora, give me your complete name.
Flora Myers Isaacs.
And when is your birthday?
August the 12th, 1901.
Okay, and what is your address?
What?
Your address.
Where I was born.
No, here, this address.
Oh, 5628 Darlington Road.
Okay, now Flora, we're going to check back and see whether the machines are working right. Everything's mechanical these days, you know. I'm not going to be on TV. Okay, Flora, we did real well. Now, what I want you to tell me is how far back can you remember, like from when you were born and your mother and father?
Well, you don't want me to tell you about when my parents met and got married?
That's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. My father came to Pittsburgh in 1869. He came here because Lithuania, where he lived, was taken over by Russia from Poland, and they made all of the young people go into the army. And his mother sent him to Pittsburgh because he had a married sister who lived here named Nevins. When he came here, there were approximately 5,000 Jews in Pittsburgh. Most of them were German, and most of them lived on the north side. Now, there were some, they didn't seem to, they kept to themselves, you know, they didn't seem to bother too much with the Eastern European Jews at that time. But there were some people here from Eastern Europe, and when a young fellow would come over, they would give them a basket of trinkets to sell among the miners and the mill workers.
These German Jews did that?
No, the Eastern European Jews.
Like Eastern Europe, okay. What was the trinkets you meant, did he say?
Well, they would, like needles and thread and scissors and different household utensils and things like that.
Okay.
What was the name?
What?
What was the name of your father?
My father's name was Morris Myers.
M-E-Y-E-R-S.
Why did he come to Pittsburgh? What brought him to Pittsburgh?
He came here because his mother knew that he would be drafted into the Russian army. And the people in Lithuania said that many times they never saw their sons after they were taken. Now, my grandfather was 26 years old and was married and had three children. And he was made to go into the Russian army. How he escaped, I don't know, but he escaped from the Russian army, and he came to this country and settled in Buffalo, New York, because he knew the rabbi there. After my father...
I want to ask you something. Your grandfather came here?
Yes.
And your father, how was come your father was still in, or was that in Lithuania?
Well, my grandfather came here in the early 1860s. He came here before my father.
That's right. And your father was left there?
My father was... My father was... He was... He came to Pittsburgh because he had a sister here.
Yeah, but your grandfather...
Now, there's a connection when I tell you the connection.
Okay, your grandfather came first.
Yes, my grandfather came in about in the early 1860s, and my father came in 1869.
He left his son in Lithuania when your grandfather... When your grandfather came, his children remained in Lithuania.
Yes,
he
escaped from the Russian army, and he left us. He came to Buffalo, and it was all farmland, and he was very, very handy, could do anything. And eventually he went to a lumber company and he asked them if they would give him credit to build a house. Now, it stands to reason there was no electricity or water or gas, so they probably were like log cabins. And he built this himself. He built 10 houses on a street in Buffalo, New York, that would be comparable to where Joseph Horne's is in Pittsburgh. After he made enough money, he sent for his wife and 3 children. My mother was the oldest, and she was 9 years old when she came here. Now, getting back to my father. After my father had made enough money, he knew he had, my mother and father were first cousins. He knew he had an uncle in Buffalo, New York. And he decided to go to visit his uncle. And then when he went there...
Now, wait a minute. He had a father in Buffalo, New York.
My grandfather was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
But my father was his nephew, and he wanted to visit his uncle. He went to Buffalo, New York, and he fell in love with my mother.
I see.
Now, there's the connection.
The grandfather's on your mother's side, and your father's in... Okay.
Yeah, that's the connection.
All right, now I got it.
Now, they were first cousins.
Okay, now I got it.
They were married in Buffalo in January the 1st, 1880.
What was the Pittsburgh connection? How did you get from Buffalo?
My father lived in Pittsburgh.
See, the grandfather.
Why did your father come to Pittsburgh?
When did he come?
Why?
1869.
Why? Why Pittsburgh?
Because he had a married sister that lived here.
Okay.
Now
what was her name?
They lived.
Nevins.
She had 5 children, and he came to her house, and he had to sleep on the floor.
That's Nevins,
yeah.
An aunt.
Well, actually, their name was Nevinsky, and they changed it to Nevins.
Okay.
So he took a room on Water Street, which is now Fort Duke King Boulevard, and that's where he lived when he was single, when he first came here. Now, after he got married, he bought a house on Clark Street. Which today is the red light district. That was the lower hill.
What kind of work did he do?
Well, after he got married, he opened up a store. But since most of the business was on Saturday, he gave up the store because he did not want to work on Saturday. He was observant. And he had a lot of customers. He went around to, it was actually called, they called them customer peddlers.
What did he sell?
He got connections with the department stores, and he sold dry goods. If you want to read about them?
There. We're going to make copies of everything you have written, photocopies, and you put it in with the thing.
He developed a following, and he sold dry goods mainly, and he had... He was actually what you would call a shopper. These mill workers and miners, they had big families, and the women, they couldn't go shopping, and they would call him up and say, Mr. Myers, I need a tablecloth, I need sheets, I need...
He had a telephone.
He actually shopped for them.
He had a telephone.
We didn't have a telephone, though.
When they went to bring something to them, then they told them what to need for next time.
Yeah, there was, nobody had telephones in those days. There was one man that lived next, on the next corner from us that had a telephone, and he used to get calls on that phone. Now, this man, the reason that he had a telephone was because he worked for the health department in the city of Pittsburgh. And in those days, if anybody had a contagious disease like chickenpox or diphtheria or scarlet fever, the city, the health department sent this man around, and he would nail a sign on the house.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Contagious diseases.
Scarlet fever especially.
Mumps.
Okay. And
he had connections with Kaufman's and another store before Frank and Cedar, Solomon and Bebro, and some of the wholesale houses like Boggs and Buell's and Stevenson, what was their first name?
Arbuthnot Stevenson's.
What?
Arbuthnot Stevenson's.
Arbuthnot Stevenson's. And he would go there and buy the merchandise. Now, he charged them a carrying charge, and he got a discount from these stores, and that's how he made a living. He always made a good living, always owned his own home. We always had new clothes for the holidays. We weren't rich, but we weren't poor. You know what I mean?
When he was seeing these customers and bringing these merchandise around, did they pay cash or did he have to go and collect?
No, that was the point of it. They didn't have to pay cash.
He
would go around periodically, sure. They would pay on the bill.
Sure.
And although he never took any business courses, he had a system worked out. I mean, he had ledgers and everything, and he carried some little notebook with him. When he came home, he would enter everything into his ledgers.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many children were you?
I was the 11th of 12 children. Now, they didn't all grow to maturity. One died in a typhoid epidemic at the age of 14, and one died from a rheumatic heart due to bad tonsils. And my mother said that had they lived later on, they would have been able to be treated for these things.
Your sisters and brothers live in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Are your sisters and brothers? Who are your sisters?
They all lived in.
Who are they?
I had one, my oldest brother, his name was Joseph, Joe Myers. Mm-hmm. He was Edgar Kaufman's assistant. He started out in the complaint department. I don't know. I have an article about him too.
Okay. And who's next after Joe?
Then my other brother was a dentist, Dr. Herman Myers.
Is that Louis' father?
Yeah. And then I had, my oldest sister was Etta, and she was married to Dr. Joseph M. Katz, a dentist.
Joseph Katz?
Mm-hmm.
What was his last name?
Katz, K-A-T-Z.
The dentist, okay.
He was a dentist. And then my other brother, Harry, he was in the First World War, and he developed something. He died in the Veterans Hospital at the age of about 43. And my other brother was Lawrence, and his nickname was Leish. That was his name in Hebrew, was Laser, and everybody called him Leish. He went by the name of Lawrence Leish Myers, and he sold golf equipment. He was very active in the Dapper Dans and sports.
Good athlete.
Yeah.
Did he play golf?
He played golf, and he got into the golf business.
I see. And who else in your family?
What?
What other ones in your family?
Then I came next, and my younger sister, Nellie, was married to Morris Finkelpearl. Now, Morris's father was the first Jewish pharmacist in Allegheny County.
Was Morris a pharmacist?
Hmm?
Was Morris a pharmacist?
Yes. And Morris's son is a pharmacist now. He has the drugstore at Melwood and Center.
Okay, and that's, and he was the youngest, Morris.
Hmm?
Was Morris the youngest?
No.
Oh, go ahead. Who was after him? Nellie.
My sister was married to Morris.
Yeah, but Nellie was the youngest?
Yeah.
Your youngest.
Now, don't write this down, but my mother said if she had known in later years what she knew, what she didn't know when she was younger, she would have never had 12 children.
My mother said the same thing. She had 8. She said if she had known about birth control, she wouldn't have had it. Okay, then.
Didn't you have some other sisters?
I just had one sister that died at the age of 14 when she had typhoid.
Wait, did you say there were 11 children?
I had 12.
12.
My oldest sister was at a Katz. Now, my oldest sister was a member of a group. There were a group of young women. I could tell you, I don't know all of them, but one of them was Rose Rayfield. And one of them was a Rose Moretzky.
But they did.
Wait, Rose Rayfield and her sister. What's her sister's name? There were two sisters, and Rose Moretzky and a few other women that got together every week, and they paid 10 cents dues. And when Henrietta Zold organized Hadassah, they asked this group to be the nucleus for the Pittsburgh chapter.
And were you in it?
Oh, no, it was way before my time.
Oh, I see. All right. Now, so your father went around selling and all, and when did he move from that Water Street?
I don't know exactly when he moved from Water Street to Clark Street, but they moved to Marion Street in around 1900.
You moved to Marion?
Yeah, and I was born at Marion Street in 1901.
Okay, and he was still in the same building, the business. Still in the same business?
Oh, yes, that was his business.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then when did you move from Marion Street?
We moved from Marion. We had a very lovely home there. It was big, and my parents were very generous with allowing the kids to have parties and even weddings. We had a living room and a dining room that was separated by doors that slid into the wall, and so if those doors were open, the rooms would be, you know, the two rooms together would be very large, and they even allowed people to have weddings there.
Where's Marion Street?
Where is it? It's one block away from the Mercy Hospital.
Okay.
Now, when they moved there, there was a lumber yard across the street, and that didn't bother anybody, but after a while, this lumber yard was sold to Rick McJunkin's Dairy, and they made a stable out of it, and they built these big wooden ramps where the horses would go up and down, and they would come down like about 4 o'clock in the morning, and the odor got terrible and the flies, and my parents decided they'd had to move. They couldn't sleep. The noise was so terrible and so on and so forth. And they began to look for a house.
Mm.
And this Jack Marks proposition, my father, when these three houses were on the market, he said, "We'll buy two. Are you interested in buying the third one?" And my father bought that house at 5624, where my sister still lives.
5625.
We moved there in 1923.
Remember how much it cost?
What?
Remember how much it cost?
$11,500.
For the one house?
Yeah.
In 1900, it was a lot of money.
No, 1923.
Wasn't that a lot of money?
Yeah, it wasn't, because these houses were worth more than that, but this man wanted to get rid of them in a hurry.
It was for one or all three?
All three.
Oh, okay.
For three. One, each house was $11,500. It was $34,500 for the three houses.
Okay. All right. And what did he do?
Now, Jack Marks's mother-in-law was a cousin, and her name was Myers too. She didn't have a last name, I don't know why, but she took my father's name, and she had a child, and her husband left her, and she used to leave this little girl at my mother's house and go out and cater dinners and cook for people. So my mother said to her, look, you've got a young child, and you don't know where you're going to go or what you're going to do. Why don't you open a little restaurant? So she rented a place at 912 Fifth Avenue, and she opened up a strictly kosher restaurant, the only kosher restaurant in the city of Pittsburgh.
What was the name, you know?
Myers Restaurant. And they did all their own cooking. She had a cook for, well, if you want to use the word fleisch, for
yeah.
meat meals. And she had a cook that cooked the dairy meals. And everything was made on the premises. Now, this Jack Marks worked for the Hilton Clothing Company, and they transferred him to Pittsburgh. And somebody told him about this kosher restaurant. They said, if you want to get good food, go to Myers Restaurant. Well, he came to Myers Restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant, this girl had already grown up, her daughter, and she took a shine to this Jack Marks, and I don't know whether she propositioned me. She said that she would take him in the business. So he married this Esther Myers and ran the business with his mother-in-law. And they always lived together. And they gave up the restaurant, and he went to work for Ben Thorpe in the Thorpe Real Estate Company. And it was through that that they got these houses.
I see. Okay. Tell us a little bit how religious your family was, what they did on Saturday.
How what?
Religious, your religious upbringing.
Yeah, my father, well, I can't remember all of the places, but let me get this article.
Okay. Well, we're going to get that later, so if it's in there, you don't have to tell us. We don't want to do that now. We want to do that. We want you, and we'll get that later, okay? You mean your father was 92?
That tells you about my father. There were, I don't know, eight young fellows that were here. It was the era of Rosh Hashanah, and a couple of them came in off of the road. And they had, that was the first minion of the Orthodox, to my knowledge. And it tells you there in that article mm-hmm. where they moved from one place to the other place, and till they came to the Washington Street Shul.
And okay, you want to tell us about your delivery?
Yeah. Now this is I was delivered by Baba Hanna, who was the
midwife
at that time. Now this was written by my oldest sister some years back. You want me to read it?
No, we're going to make a copy and put it in here.
Okay.
Because we have that information. See, any information we have written down is good, but we don't have all
okay.
the stuff
well,
that you have in your head.
Okay, well, you can make copies of
it. Yeah, we got everything in your head. We got everything from your head, okay. So then, in other words, you had this big house, so and you had weddings, and you observed the Sabbath?
Yes.
And did you go to work or anything, or weren't you?
In those days, it was a disgrace for a girl to go to work. Now, the only two things that were open to women in those days was teaching and nursing. Girls did not go to work in those days. I think one of the main reason is that there were so many children in the family, the older ones had to help to raise the younger ones.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Forbes School.
Did you go to Hebrew School? You go to Hebrew School? Where'd you go to high school?
Oh, I went to Fifth Avenue High School.
When did you graduate?
I graduated
Doesn't matter. You can check it out. It'll come to you.
1918, I think. Now, I wanted to be a nurse, but my mother had just had surgery. And in order to be a nurse, you had to train in the hospital. The colleges did not offer courses in nursing in those days. And she said that the training was so terrible that the girls didn't get enough to eat, and they had to really do the work of a maid and clean and this and that. And she said, I don't want you to be a nurse. And in those days, children listened to their parents. So I consulted with Dean Green of Carnegie Tech at that time, and today they call it a medical social worker. I explained to her that my mother wouldn't permit me to be a nurse, and I would like to take a course that I don't know what they would call it, but today it's called a medical social worker. And this Dean Green said to me, you will waste 4 years of your life. She said, they do not hire anybody but married people for that type of work. Mm-hmm. So when I came home and I told my mother what Dean Green had said, she said, well, you're not going to stay home and be a kitchen Betty. You've got to go someplace. Maybe you can go to be a teacher. I said, but Mom, the Pittsburgh Training School for Teachers is already in session for 6 weeks. I said, how can I go? She said, you have to try. My sister was a student there. So I made an appointment with the principal, and I had a meeting with him on a Friday. And I went into his office, and he says, why do you want to be a teacher? And I told him my story. He said, well, I'm very glad you told me the truth, because I interviewed a girl, and I asked her why she wanted to be a teacher. She said, because I feel it's a very dedicated profession, and I intend to teach all my life. He said, well, don't you want to get married? She says, I'm never going to get married. He said, well, I can't accept you because you're not normal. So then he said to me, would you be willing to make up the back work? I said, I will try, Dr. Davis. He said, you come Monday morning, and you go in to each class, and tell them I gave you permission to make up the back work.
Okay.
And he said, you come into my office at the end of the first day. So I went there Monday morning. Now, everyone was very nice to me and gave me assignments to make up the back work, except this one teacher, and she's mentioned in this article that was in the Sunday paper. Her name was Harriet Carter. And I believe she taught history. And she said to me, I'm sorry. She says, nobody can make up the back work in my class. At the end of the day, I went into Dr. Davis's office, and the tears were rolling down my face. He said, well, what happened? And I told him. He says, what do you mean she said you can't make up the back work? She said, she gets her information out of books. You certainly can make up the back work. Well, I never made a real high grade in her class, but I did pass. I just went through some of the courses with flying colors because I had certain qualifications. For example, you had to be able to play the piano, and I had taken lessons for 8 years. My mother loved music. She couldn't play anything, but everybody in our family played. They bought a piano for about $10. And some of the things I just had no problem at all. Now, training school was not like college. You went from 8:30 to 4 every day. And there were at least 15 subjects, and you, there was no, I mean, they gave you the assignment. You could not select the subjects. You had to take what their schedule was. There was only one elective that had nothing to do with the school, and that was that on the third floor, they had a rifle range. And this Mr. Craig taught you how to use a rifle, and that was elective, but that was after school. And I took that. I don't know why, but I did. Now, there were certain subjects that I could just go through without any problem, like cooking and sewing and manual training, and we had mechanical drawing and all of that type of stuff. I had no problems at all, because the teacher said my work was as good as some of the girls that had started from the beginning. And so some of them I didn't have to take any examinations. But we had sociology, history, psychology, and playways, and storytelling, and civics, and I can't begin to tell you, there were 15 subjects all together.
What was it, 2 years?
It was a 2-year course, and then when it came time to assign the girls to their student teaching, Dr. Davis called another girl, she happened to be a friend of mine, her name was Flora, down to his office, and he said, "I have assigned everybody but you